There it goes. Thank you very much. Please remind me, because I forget. Yesterday, I didn't turn it on for a whole session. Welcome on a Saturday morning. This is not your normal Saturday, is it? You're normally at home reading the paper, or washing your car, or doing laundry, or going to the grocery store, or drinking coffee, reading the newspaper, whatever. So welcome. Glad to have you here. I love these events. I get to do a lot of these across the country because single adult ministry has been my passion. I'm Dennis Frank, and I live in Springfield, Missouri, and work at the National Office of the Assemblies of God. We started a single adult ministry department at the National Office of the AG 7 years ago. I got to start it. We did not have a department. Only 5 or 6 denominations in the U.S. have a part-time or full-time person for single adult ministry. Zandra is the newest one here at Wesleyan in Indianapolis. Anyway, I know the other people, Southern Nazarene, Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, Seventh-day Adventist. I know these people. I've been together with them. I'm a networker. I love to network with people. And so my heart is to help people like you avoid the mistakes I made. When I started 28 years ago, I'm in my 50s now. I started 28 years ago in single adult ministry, and I made some big mistakes. I'll share some with you today. My heart is to help you learn to avoid those so you don't have to go through some of the stuff I went through. So I'm married. I was a singles pastor. Been married over 30 years. I was a singles pastor for 21 years before I came to the national office 7 years ago, and was in some mid and large churches across the country, Assemblies of God churches. Some full-time position. That's all I did. Sometimes I had 2 or 3 other responsibilities on staff, too. So I'm coming from where I think you are. Many of you are. Many of you are volunteer. I did some volunteer single adult ministry work, but then I was fortunate in 79 to get a full-time position, 1979, Faye, in Billings, Montana. I'll tell you a little bit about that. So, again, my heart is to help you. You know, when I got into my 40s, I told a guy this morning, I told Moses Caesar out there in the foyer, I got in my 40s 12, 13 years ago, and I wanted to help people. I wanted to multiply anything I've learned and help people. You know, rather than help hundreds, you want to help thousands. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. You look at your life. Those of you in midlife know what I'm talking about. You want your life to count. And so I had that burning desire, and God gave me the opportunity 7 years ago, that's another story, to start the department there. 1,000 employees we have, Zandra, the National Office of the AG. 1,000 employees. We have 12,300 churches, and we had nothing for single adults until 7 years ago. Nothing on a regular basis. And that's the case in most denominations. Huge opportunities. Huge opportunities. So that's a little bit about me. 2 kids, you know, they're young adults now, and they're in their mid-20s, and we're blessed to have 2 healthy, great kids we're proud of. In fact, they're both married now, and so I'm not a grandfather yet, though. I'm not pushing for that. I've worked with single adults too long to know, don't push for marriage and don't push for kids. Not for that. So, although someday we'll have them. Anyway, that's a little bit about me. Glad you're here. And I know we have a lot of denominations here, a lot of backgrounds, a lot of levels of ministry, although a lot of you are beginning the first 2 years. I think this will really be helpful. I'm informal, so ask questions and comments. We have 1 hour and 10 minutes. That's good. I love it. There's a lot I want to show you, but we do have some time for comments and questions. So ask them, okay? I want to make sure we scratch where you itch. So what I want to show you today, this is a workshop that one of many we do to help you understand a lot of basics and some intermediate stuff about single adult ministry. You have your outline there. That's for you to write your thoughts down. Everything you see up here you should have on your outline. I love giving handouts. And we want your questions. All right, single adult ministry. Oh, I tell you, it's changed in the last 28 years in some ways. Some of it's the same, but it's changed since I got into it in 79. You are dealing with all ages, or you could deal potentially with all ages, aren't you? Mostly the never married are going to be this age, although I'm meeting more people now in their late 30s and 40s who have never married, even older. But 80% of them will be here. The formerly marrieds that will come to your ministry, divorced, Mostly will be this age. You might get a few older, but 80% will be within this age. Widowed will mostly be in these ages, 80% of them. Single parents will mostly be in these ages. And separated, you'll get some separated people. That's another whole issue. Will mostly be in those ages. They're legally married but living a single life. Huge age span we're dealing with here. 40 years minimum. The oldest we've had in our ministry is 83. Widowed man. We had a national cruise 4 years ago. People from 20 states. We have another one coming up, by the way, this year. Anyway, he's 83. He acted like he was 53. The guy had a great time. But he's 83, and then the youngest we've had is 17. How many years is that? Huge age span. We better learn some things. Because of that age span, you could have different interests. A 60-year-old single adult has some different interests than a 25-year-old single adult, don't they? Let's just make sure it's on. A 55-year-old maybe can't do the things physically that the 20-year-olds can do. The young adult, young single adults. And you've got to understand that. The preferences, the opinions are different. They're raised in different generations, aren't they? And I'm saying, putting all people together every week is not going to work. Because they have different interests and abilities. Some of you have seen that already. So I want to give you some ideas here on starting a single adult ministry. And these ideas are all amplified amplified in the book I got to write. Just was published 12 weeks ago by Baker Books. And we'll tell you more about that, but it's on the book table. There's a few left down there. Well, I'm going to pass these around as we talk about them. We'll just pass these around and you can take a look. But these principles are amplified in the book. First of all, of course, if you're going to start a ministry, you got to be praying. You better be praying. You better be praying for weeks and months about what direction God wants you to do. And I would encourage you to get other single adults to pray with you about it. Then you need to obtain permission and support if you're in a local church setting. I know some of you haven't started a ministry, so I want you to see some basic things. Obtain permission from the senior pastor or the board or whoever you're going to be under in that church. If you're a volunteer leader or if you're a paid staff leader in a church, you still will probably be under somebody. Get the permission and support. Show them things from this conference. Show them these notes. Talk about some books, some resources. Obtain permission. This is a basic suggested way. We're not spending the whole class on this, but I want you to see some things. Determine the demographics in your church, first of all. How many single adults of what age do you have in your church? Go to your church database on the computer and find out from your church receptionist or secretary. If you don't have a church database, then you can take a survey on a Sunday when you will probably have most of the people there. In two Sundays, you'll get 90% of the people to go to your church. In two Sundays. Of course, they only fill it out once. On our website, we have a sample survey for you. And I'm going to refer to our website a lot, our national single adult website, ministry website. 460 pages. Huge. Under the leaders section, by the way, you can pick one of these up down at the table, our same as the God table down there. Some of you already have. Under the leaders section, we have 200 and some things. We have a sample survey for you that will help you to find out the demographics of your church on a Sunday. It takes 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Ask your pastor for permission. Put it in the program or bulletin. Don't let them take it home and fill it out. They won't bring it back. They won't. You won't get enough. You get 10% coming back. Fill it out right there on a Sunday. All adults, married or single, all adults, fill it out. You'll find out the marital status, the ages. It breaks down the ages. The single status, etc. Single parent, divorced, widowed. You need to find out in your church. You need to find out how many single adults you have. Then, number two, what about your community? How many single adults are in your county? Because hundreds and thousands of them don't go to any church. Anywhere. You have three markets. I'm going to show you this. But two of your markets are right here. Singles in your church, single adults in your community that don't go anywhere. That should be your market too, ladies and gentlemen. Why not? And I'm going to show you, especially in another class called Models, in this room later today, how to target the unbelievers. So you need to find out in your church, in your community. But then thirdly, you need to find out how many... You need to decide which age group or interest group you're going to target. What does your survey show in your church? What do the numbers show? Do you have more 18 to 30 year olds? And do you fit in that age group? Or are you a 50 year old hoping to fit in that age group? 50 year olds are not going to be real effective with the 18 to 30 year olds, usually. Are you 40 years old and you have a lot of, in your church you've seen, you have 40 or 50, 35 to 60 year olds who are single or single again? What do the numbers show? If you're 25 or 27 and you think you're going to work with the 35 to 50, you got another thing coming. You have a hard road to toe, let me tell you. But, and you probably won't, you'll want to start with the young adults if you're a young adult yourself. I'm saying, what's your age? What do the numbers show? Do you have more 35 to 50 year old, 60 year olds single? Then you should probably look, if you're in that age group, you should look to start that group first. What's the desires of the of your pastoral staff, if they have any? What's the desire of the potential leaders you can recruit? What are other ministries in your community doing? See, I think you should look at the Wesleyan Church, the Baptist Church, the Assemblies of God, the Presbyterian. What are they doing? Go learn from them. Go learn from them. I had to learn from Presbyterians and Reformed Church of America and Baptists when I started 28 years ago because we didn't have anything in the Assemblies of God. So I think you can learn a lot from these people. All right? Look at other ministries in your community. Don't think you can target all the ages or interest groups at once. You can't. You can't. Look at this. I'm going to show you the interest groups and the age groups. Here they are. You can't reach all those age groups. Even if you're a mega church of 4,000, you're starting, you're not going to have all those groups going the first year or two. You've got to develop leadership. Now these are my suggestions. After all these years, I suggest you break them down in ages. And if you're a small church, you can only do perhaps one age group, or two maybe, within time. College age group, 20s and 30s, actually that the Gen X now are really 26 to 40, is what they are. I need to update this. The Gen Xers. The single or single again, if you have a young adult ministry, then I would suggest you start this at 30 or 35, the single adult ministry. And that's going to, you'll see that'll go up to probably 60, 80% of your people will be 35 to 60 in that group. And then the mega church, only the big churches, when you have a lot of singles, can do a 55 plus group. This is not very common. I've had it before, but it's not very common. Mostly you're going to do a young adult or a single adult group. Two groups, mostly. Unless you're a mega, mega church, 3, 4, 5,000, you can do other groups. Does that make sense so far, these age groups? You see, again, a 25-year-old does not have much in common with a 55, 60-year-old. Some churches, they call me, pastors, well, Dennis, you know, we have a marriage class and we ask all the marriages to come. We're going to have a singles class and we ask all the singles to come. The young adults are going to look around the room. They're Chris's age. What are you, Chris? 27. People Chris's age are going to look around the room. He's going to see 50s, 40s and 50s. He's going to say, this is my parents' age. Man, I don't know if this is for me. That's what they're going to do. I'm telling you, I've done it. And only the very, very accepting, rare people to Chris's age are going to stay. Very, very few. So don't try and lump them all together. Now, if you have strong, if you have 40, 50 of these people coming in a group every week, and you have this group, 40, 50 of them coming in another group, separate nights, separate groups, yes, you can put them together once in a while for a guest speaker or a drama group. Or yes, once in a while you can do it, every 2-3 months, but I wouldn't do it weekly. You got to get this here at the beginning because a lot of you are starting. And this causes problems. I get pastors calling me, Dennis, we've started a group a year ago. We're a small church. We've got 250 in our church. We've got about 35 singles in our church, or 20, 35. We can't get past 7 or 8 or 9. Well, what are you doing? Well, we open it up to everybody. You know, if you're 22, 42, 52, 62, come on, you're single. Uh-uh. It's not going to work. Neither will it work for marriage, usually. Because a 25-year-old married couple has different interests and life issues than a 55-year-old married couple. You don't want to hang out. If Marcia is 40 years old, I don't know what you are, but if you're 40, you're not going to want to hang out with a 65-year-old every week. You have a different life issue, different life circumstances. See? So, that's age groups. Let's do this side and then take some questions. Now, there are also need groups in single adult ministry. You can choose to develop your ministry this way, or both. You plan a total ministry, but you build it in stages. It takes years to get all this going. Single parent ministry and children, a family ministry, where you're ministering to single parents once, twice, four times a month. That's a whole ministry right there. They have special targeted needs that these people don't. Yes, single parents can go to these groups. Yes, they can, and they should. But you may want to target single parents for a while. We have curriculum and helps on our table, so do other tables down there to help you. Lori Little down there has a tremendous video series. Lori Little, Hope for the Single Mom. And then classes for these kids. We used to do this, single parent classes. We have stuff for them. Divorce care is another. Divorce recovery, that's another group. That goes for 10 or 12 weeks, and then you ask them to go to these groups if they will. Because they're single, single again now. Widow groups, we've had widow groups. San Jose, California, we had a widow group going for 5 years. I had a leader there, 20 people on Sunday morning, they had a class, men and women, mostly ages 40 to 70. I wasn't even in there. I can't be in five classes at once. Neither could you. So you develop leaders. We'll show you that in another class. Anyway, these are the age groups and the needs groups. Any comments, questions about these? Do you understand those? Anybody have a question?
Well, back to the survey. Something I was thinking of doing the survey in my church is we have a one-on-one class periodically, like every other month or so. And it's like a five-week class. You know, people that are in there obviously are, you know, interested in joining the church and checking it out on a deeper level. And I'm thinking of maybe having, you know, for starters, you know, the singles there, just, are you interested in a singles ministry, yes, no, or don't know? And then the ones that say no, you know, don't bother with another survey I had, kind of like it's a little bit more in-depth. Is that a good approach? Or they got
you mean trying to target the ones that are interested to contact them, you mean?
Well, and there's another survey that's a little more in-depth, like, you know, that ask them if, you know, they had experience doing stuff with singles groups, either, you know, in church or non-church setting, et cetera, things like that, or their interest in small group topics, that type of thing.
Asking that on a Sunday morning in a survey?
Well, no, it's a Welcome 101 class.
Oh.
It meets, you know, like, these are people with prospective new members, and it meets every other month or so in my church. You know, I was thinking
sure.
Ministering it there or something, like, you know, on an ongoing basis. Our church has grown pretty good too, like it's doubled in size. Like,
sure, Greg, if you have a class already for the new people coming in, all ages, married, single, sure, you want to get acquainted with them because they're interested. They're already coming to the class. So then, yes.
That's a sound approach. Or
but I wouldn't ask that on a Sunday morning to just everybody to view.
Well, that's why, because I'm figuring if they're going to be a lively thing or, you know, committed or whatever.
Yeah. You want to take surveys. That's good. You want to take surveys. But I wouldn't ask necessarily on a Sunday morning
right.
if you're interested because they don't. The myths and the misconceptions of a singles ministry are numerous.
Right.
And they don't know even what they want, many of them. They think they do, but they don't. And you will learn that as you from them as you see them, as they get involved or don't get involved.
Well, I've been learning that a lot.
Sure. Okay, yes. Marcia.
This may not be the right time to ask this, and this might not be the right class to ask this. But how do you get the pastoral support?
Okay, I'm going to cover that. We're going to go to that. Yes.
I'm not clear on your category of 30 plus.
Okay.
The 35 plus, I'm not clear on that.
Okay, I'm saying that if you're going to start a singles ministry, it's normally going to be 30 and up that will come. But if you have a young adult ministry already going, then I would probably start this at 35. If your young adult ministry goes into the 30s,
what do you mean if you have 20s and 30s there?
That's a young adult ministry.
Oh, I see. Okay.
This one is a young. These two are young adults. Big churches have three groups going. These three. A college age, a young adult, and a single adult. Big churches can. But little churches are going to have just probably one of them. Mid-sized, maybe two eventually. And I'll show you in another class, the models class. You can do all three of these, even a small church, if you reach out to community and do things to attract the unbelievers and the unchurched people. But I don't have time to get into that this class. Anyway, these are the age groups I recommend. And you can have several of these groups going after a period of time. And eventually you want these people to come to these groups. these age groups. Because you don't want to separate all the divorced here, all the never married here, and all the widowed here. That's judgmental. It's unhealthy. Unmarried people can learn from formerly married people, and vice versa. They can learn. Now, only for divorce recovery or widowed, yes, if you have another group going. This is temporary. This is 8, 10, 12 weeks. Once or twice a year. And then you let them know about your singles classes. Let them come in there. All right? Let's go a little further here. Now, here are the three markets I believe you have. You need to think not just single adults in your church. That's one of your markets. Sure, that's your first market. How many are in your church that call this their church home? We've talked about the survey. What ages are they? But then you have single adults in no church. They don't go anywhere in your community. Thousands of them. Hundreds and thousands. Why shouldn't they be your market? They should be. You want to track them. You want to win them to Christ. You want them to grow personally, spiritually, relationally. Then you have single adults in other churches who don't have a single adult ministry or young adult ministry, Chris. They don't have it. Dennis, are you saying we should steal sheep? No, I'm not. I'm saying that they're going to come anyway once they hear about the group because they want to develop healthy friendships with males and females. One of the biggest things single adults want, I think they want three things. They want healthy friendships with males and females. And they're going to hear about your ministry and they're going to peek in and visit from other churches. And then they'll go back to their home church that they're loyal to if they're loyal to it. And I say, great, send them back to their church. You're not trying to steal sheep. You're not trying to get their money or their attendance or their tithe. You want them to go to their home church. And you want to stay friends with these other pastors. And you want... Now, if they don't have a home church, then yes. Of course you want them to get to your church. But these, you have three markets here. And when we ran ministries in Omaha for 4 years and Billings, Montana for 4 years, we met off the church grounds, and I'll tell you more about that in the models class, off the church grounds, we had 27 church backgrounds coming. Lutheran, Baptist, Catholic, Episcopalian, Buddhist. We had no church backgrounds, Presbyterian, everything. And they were coming because they didn't have a ministry in their church. And 80% of the churches in your city and your county do not have a targeted single ministry, I'll guarantee you. Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, I'll guarantee you. You check them out. You call. You find out. About 80% don't have a ministry targeting single adults. So why shouldn't you target them? Sure you should. And then send them back to their church. Make announcements verbally. If you're from another church, we're not trying to get you in our church. Go back to your home church. Now, I know some of your classes meet on Sunday mornings. And if your city's large, they don't have enough time to get back to their church. I understand that. Some of them won't even come because they're pretty loyal to their church. But if you meet on a Friday night or a Wednesday night or a Monday night, they can go back to the church on Sunday. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? You have three markets. Don't just think of the ones, we're a small church, we can't do a ministry. Yes, you can. Because you can be creative, and you could attract single adults from these two groups too. Gordon.
You mentioned earlier, this is kind of backing up. You said there's three things you saw that you
okay.
were looking for.
Thank you. The first one is healthy friendships. The second one is relevant teaching. Relevant teaching. We're going to get to that and show you some topics. Relevant teaching. The third one is discussion. Discussion opportunities. Why? Because young adults and single adults go home to an empty apartment or a dog or a cat or a child. They want adult conversation. If you're single here, if you don't go home to a spouse like I do tomorrow night and talk about the weekend. You go home to an empty house or apartment or a cat or a dog or a child or two. I know they want relevant teaching and discussion opportunities. They want to hear what others think. And they want to learn and they want to grow and they want to contribute too. And they want healthy friendships. Develop a contact list. We're still kind of getting into how to start a ministry. From a church database, emails, mailing addresses, from single adults, from other friends and referrals of other single adults, name, email, address, phone, of course. You develop a contact list. You want to do that. Organize a planning team. interested males and females. Don't try and do this yourself. Get one or two males and females with you. Both genders, if you're starting. You want to get perspectives of men and women. It may take you 8 weeks, folks, to get some interest. That's okay. Don't try and do it by yourself. Get some interested people. Get their ideas. Start to get some synergy going. Target your age group or interest group we talked about. Here's what you should discuss with these interested males and females. And I'm going to show you models in another class. What type of model ministry do you need? Do you want? Meeting days, times, frequency. How often are we going to meet? I'm talking about your weekly or bi-weekly class. Not your activities, but your main hub class. Your meeting where people come for teaching and discussion. Possible names. This is some kind of things you discuss here as you're starting. Okay? Develop a vision statement or a mission statement. The what of the ministry. The reason for being. The end result. Here's a sample. Single Life Ministries exist to build single adults who are whole, spiritually, socially, intellectually, and relationally, to achieve their God-given potential. That's a vision statement. That's an end result. It's not saying how you're going to do it. This is what you want to see. That's a vision statement. It's what I want to see. Now, the mission statement is the how. This vision statement is the end result, the what. You see the difference here? Let me show you you've heard these terms. Here's a mission statement. The how of the ministry, their goals. What will be done to achieve the vision? You and your team of interested people can work on these. And it's not easy. It takes discussion and dialogue to arrive at a vision statement and a mission statement. But you need one. Now, you may not get this in the first few weeks, even months. It may take you 3-4 months later when you have 6 or 8 people to develop a vision or a mission statement. That's okay. That's okay. Because you're forming your ideas. If you have to wait 3, 4, 5 months, that's okay. You don't have to have it the first week. But you need one. Any comments about these? You see what I'm talking about here. Vision and mission statement. Here's a sample. The goals of Single Life Ministries are to recognize, reach, restore, and release single adults into the kingdom. How are we going to see? We're going to find strategies to recognize them, strategies to reach and restore and release them, restore them spiritually, relationally. That's a mission statement. The other one is a vision statement. Comments, questions? There's a lot to get into, but I just want to make sure you have. Okay. Then you plan. This is my idea. These are my thoughts here. You don't have to follow this step by step, but I would recommend that they're pretty good. Plan or host a large event. Not your first Bible study or first weekly class. A large event where it takes you time to plan. So you get more numbers. Rather than having 10 people, you're going to get 20. Because you've taken 2 months to plan, or longer, with these three other other people. A banquet, a retreat, a drama night, a guest speaker, something that takes you time to plan. Plan for a quality. Promote it heavily for 6, 8, 10 weeks. You want to. It takes weeks and weeks to get people geared up for a large event. It doesn't just happen in 1 or 2 or 3 weeks. I'm saying plan a large event that has excitement. A game night with a video and some prizes. Something that's, I don't know, whatever's going to work in your community, in your church. Ask these people who are working with you. What can we do that's exciting that will attract young adults or single adults? You see? Because you want to have as many people there that first night as you can. To show the vision. They're going to look around and say, ooh, look at this, 25 other people. Yeah. Versus if you have a class of 7 the first week. We can't get people coming. You got to show them a vision. You got to show them excitement. And you want to take time to plan something when you're first starting that's going to draw more people. That's what I'm saying. Something exciting. And they're going to look around. Oh, there's some people my age here. This is what they... Oh, yeah. There's a good-looking guy. There's a good-looking babe. That's what they're going to look... Now, that's not the reason for being, but I'm saying... You got to be aware. You got to be reality here. That's why they're coming, some of them. So don't just plan it for a little class. I hope to have a Bible study. We've got 50 adults in our church that are single. We should have 40 of them come the first week. You're not going to do it. I'm going to show you. They're going to come and go for lots of reasons. So plan a large event. Then you begin your weekly classes after that. After you've had your games and your speaker, and you've had 20 people, 30 people come that first night, now we're going to start a weekly class, folks. We're going to start next week, or 2 weeks from now, or a month from now, and we want to invite you to come, and we're going to have a discussion and teaching, and see, you want to make a big splash. And they want the quality friendships. That's what they want. They want the, there it is, they want the relevant teaching, and they want the discussion. Will meeting once or twice a month meet these needs? You have to decide that with your people. Okay? Talk it over with those people that you're starting this ministry with. Because meeting monthly is not going to do it. Even meeting twice a month is hard to achieve momentum. Because many people will not make every... Most people will not make every meeting. They won't be there every week. A few, a core, will. But the majority of them will come one, two, three times a month. You know, they get sick, they go on vacation, they break up with their boyfriend or girlfriend and they're hurting, they don't want you to see that. They get laid off from a job, they're traveling, they have kid problems, all kinds of reasons. So meeting weekly, in my opinion, is best. If you can meet weekly. Questions? I'm doing a lot of talking, I've got a lot to say, I have no lack to talk, but I want to make sure this makes sense to you. Alright, now look at this. Common needs and interests. We have spiritual needs. These are spiritual needs. Now I want you to think with me. This is very important in my opinion. You can go to almost any adult class in your church. If you have 1, 2, 3, 5 adult classes. And you will get teaching and discussion on these things, won't you? Sure. Spiritual issues. Married or single people. I'm a married guy. I have the same spiritual issues you do. Same needs if you're single. Same spiritual issues. And I can go to any class in my church or your church and get teaching and discussion on these issues. So, don't necessarily start your singles class with these issues. Because you can go to other classes and get these issues. What do single adults want that they're not getting? Let's see what you say. What are some issues that single adults want teaching and discussion on?
Finances.
Finances as a single adult. Yes.
My wife and I, there's about 3 or 4 singles started coming to us. And so we did the Dave Ramsey. We selected Dave Ramsey, a DVD, yeah, and selected like 5 or 6 of the sessions. The first Sunday morning is called Single Adults Learning Together, SALT.
Yeah.
And we had like 28 to 30 people show up. Now it's fluctuating because of the activities, yeah, and people going out of town, but 18 to 26 people every Sunday morning.
Good. Yeah, finances, as managing my finances as a single adult, big issue. What's another one?
Sex.
Sex. Sure, they want teaching. 90% of churches don't teach on sexuality from a single adult perspective. They rarely teach it from a married perspective. How many of you in the last 2 years have had a Christian biblical teaching from a single adult perspective on sex in your church or group? Look at this. A couple hands. That's why we created a DVD called Living Pure in an Impure World. 6 sessions. I'm teaching in front of a live audience, 105 single adults and some young adults, all ages, 20 to 60. You'll see them on there. You'll see their faces. And I'm teaching 6 sessions. You can use it for 6 weeks. Listen to the topics. You're going to say, that's pretty bold. That's pretty... Yeah, I think we need to be bold with single adults. Why teach about sexuality? Today's sexual philosophies. 8 philosophies. Reasons single adults are having premarital sex. Session 2. 8 reasons. Temptation. Succumbing or overcoming. Session 3. Hugging and excessive affection in public. God made you with a body. Why? Session 3. Session 4. Levels of physical involvement. There's 10 levels of physical involvement at least. How far can I go? STDs. Session 5, masturbation. Yeah, we teach on masturbation. A whole 45-minute session on that. There's so much you can teach about that. Session 6, sexuality and your identity, determining your moral principles, and managing your sex drive. How do you help a divorced person or a widowed person who used to have sexual intercourse with their spouse on a regular basis, they are now single again? How do you help them manage their sex drive? Does the church help you teach on that? No. 90% of them don't. I think we should. I think we should help. Singles have taught me. I've had to learn from people like you. I'm a married guy. I had to learn 28 years ago when I got into this ministry. And I've asked a lot of questions, and I've read a lot of books, and I've heard speakers. So we try and give some answers. We don't have all the answers, but we're trying. We're learning. And you need to teach this kind of stuff. And this is just one idea, just a series that we did. Six. We'll pass it around. Six sessions on sexuality with discussion and printable PowerPoints. We have about six of them left on our table down there. All right, that's an issue. Now, here's some other issues. You said finances, you said sex. Here's some more. Look at this. Singleness issues. Being content as a single. Friendships with the same and opposite sex. Money management, there it is. Understanding sexuality. Identity. Stress as a single adult. Coping with changes. Setting goals. Career issues. Helping young adults find a healthy career. Self-esteem. Courting and dating. Or dating again. Premarital education. Remarital education. Handling my emotions, learning to risk, acceptance, guilt, loneliness, finance. These are things single adults deserve to have you teach and discuss. Where do you get this in your church if you don't get it in the singles class? You don't get it. Young adult class, you don't get it. You see my point? Let me ask you another question. Where are you going to get information on this and perspective on this if the church doesn't teach it? Where are you going to get it? Tell me.
TV.
Great shows like Sex and the City, reruns of Friends, Smallville, Grey's Anatomy. Oh, they're showing great morals, aren't they? Oh, great biblical healthy perspective. Where else are you going to get your perspective?
Internet.
Where else?
Movies.
Theaters. Rental movies. Great stuff. Where else?
Water cooler.
Friends. Non-Christian friends. Bars. See my point? Listen, you leaders, you better be teaching on this kind of stuff. Because I can go to any other class and get these issues. Remember, I can go to other classes and get these, and so can your single adults. They can go to marriage classes, seniors class. They can get this, and they should. And you should teach some of this, but I'm telling you, you better be teaching this stuff because they're not getting it. No wonder our single adults and young adults are struggling with this stuff in their life, because 90% of the churches of any denomination aren't teaching it. I've been in this for 28 years. I've visited Baptist, Presbyterian, Assemblies of God, Nazarene. I've been there. I'm telling you. They're not teaching this, and we have stuff on our tables down there to help you. By the way, I'm going to give something away right now. We have several of these. These are older. They're 4 years old, and it's video, VHS. There are a couple of audio problems on here, so they're not as clear as that DVD going around, that blue one. They're not as, that's the update of this. That's six sessions. This is also six sessions. There's two on each video. It's basically the same material. This is video, but it's not as clean and clear as a digital. You'll see that. But it's usable, and I wouldn't show it to a huge group because, again, the quality is not what I want it to be. But I want to give it away. We've got five more of these sets. We're selling the whole set for $10. We just want to get rid of them. $10, six sessions. But again, it's a couple of audio problems. I want to give it away to the newest leader in here who is just starting a ministry. Anybody 6 months or less? Okay? 4 months or less? Ooh, look at that. 2 months or less. Wow. Okay, 1 month. Anybody 1 month? Just getting into it. Okay. When's your birthday, Faye?
March the 8th.
March the 8th. Ooh, you just had it. When's yours? November?
August.
March gets it. She's the closest. Okay. I've got one more we're going to give away in a little while, too. And again, it's not as clean as that, but you can. There are discussion questions, and you'll see crowd shots, etc. But it was done with an analog camera, and it wasn't as good as I wished it would be. But there's a few more of those down there. If you want a cheap set, and you don't have a whole large group, and you can show them something that's not as good as the clean one, then get it down there. So, do you follow me on these topics? There's other curriculum. We have stuff down there to help you on our table, and other tables do too. Here's some more issues. Rearing children alone. Relating to my ex-spouse. Shared parenting. Learning to forgive, trust. I had some of these already on there. Risk, humility, defining my new role, blending families, relating to married adults as this. I can teach a whole session on that one right there. These are things we should be teaching. I really think so. From a biblical and single adult perspective. Those are things that interest people, don't they? Alright, look for a leader. Man, we've got to get moving here. Look for a leader. The buck needs to stop somewhere. Appoint a leader eventually to make the decisions, provide a vision, make the sacrifices. Eventually, someone has to be the leader. Then you build a definite leadership team. We're doing a whole class on leadership later today. Welcome you to come back, developing leadership. Some people are willing to help, mature, look for good attitudes in the target interest group. All right, those are some basic things of starting a ministry. Now I want to move into a section of some other things about ministry that you need to know. The labels. How many of you have heard these labels? Loners, lovers, losers, leavers, and livers. I've got a whole teaching on this. Some single adults don't want to go to your ministry because, well, you know, there's a bunch of lonely people there, and I'm not lonely, I'm doing well, and yeah, there's some hurting loser type people there, you know. So, yeah, and I'm not. Hey, if they don't say it, you're going to see it on their face. Someone will eventually say it. They think they're too good for the ministry. They think they're too swinging, too. They think they have it all together, and they don't want to mix with those hurting young adults and single adults, you know. Some of those losers and lovers. That's a hospital. I mean, that your group's like a hospital. 30% of them are hurting and lonely. Or they're weird people there. I can tell you stories. We had a lady that wore 4 layers of black clothing from her neck down to her feet every week because she was raised in a legalistic. This is a lady with a master's degree. She was 32 years old, Omaha, Nebraska. I can tell you stories of Paul who dribbled food down his coat every week. And I can tell you stories of all kinds of people. You're going to have them. But didn't Jesus minister to them? We should be accepting people. You're going to have all kinds of people coming. People with master's and doctorate degrees. People who don't have a high school education. Don't let people in the church foyer or other single adults say that your group is a loser's group. You know what I say? Yeah, we have some hurting people there, Bob. We do. But you know what? We have some healthy people too. And there's always room for more people that are healthy. Bob probably has some issues too, but he's not telling you what they are. He could have a pride issue, or a lust issue, or a gossip, or overeating. But see, he doesn't want you to know that. Everybody has issues. Everybody. So, these are the labels. Confront the labels. Yeah, we have some lonely people there. Sue, yeah, we do. I tell people, yeah, we have lonely people. We have some people that aren't lonely too. But you know what, Sue? It doesn't take being single to be lonely. Some of you were married and you were lonely. So the loneliest person in your hometown tonight, Gordon, is not a single person. It's a married person. Because they're lying 18 inches away from their spouse in bed. But they're miles apart in their relationship. Miles. That's a lonely person. So help these people in your church and community see, yeah, we've got some hurting, lonely people and loser people. Sure, what the world calls losers. We're all losers without Jesus. So you have to learn this stuff and confront these attitudes. It's okay. Here's some characteristics of this ministry that you're trying to build. Healing and wholeness. Say the word wholeness. Wholeness. Isn't that a beautiful word? I love it. You want to help people become whole, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, physically. Hey, I know some married people that aren't even whole. Marriage doesn't make you whole. Colossians 2:10. You are whole or complete in Him. Jesus. Not marriage. I know some married people who aren't whole. I know some single people who are whole. Marriage doesn't make you whole. One of my pet peeves. Why don't you meet my better half? Her name is Jill. She's a half person and I'm a half person. But together we're whole. We're married. No. I hate that. Now I know the meaning. I know you want to give honor to your spouse, my better half. But she's not a half. She's a whole. She does not become a half person when she marries me. She's a whole person and I'm a whole person, and together we're one in Christ. We're whole in Christ. And I was preaching in Illinois last year somewhere, and Sunday morning, trying to educate the congregation about this stuff. And after the service, one of the deacons came up and said, "Hey, Dennis, I want you to meet my better whole person. Her name is Sue." I said, Yeah! Okay, this is singles ministry, healing and wholeness. Emergency room. Sometimes people need help right now. Don't you dare get into singles ministry if you're not willing to take a midnight phone call. "Dennis, my wife broke up with me today. Dennis, I got fired from my job. Dennis, my boyfriend left me today." You're going to have those calls. Don't you dare stay in single adult ministry if you're not, young adult ministry, if you're not willing to stay and take those calls. Now, I had to learn, you can't spend an hour at midnight twice a week on the phone, because you've got to get up and go to work, and so does the person on the other end of the line. So I learned to say, "You know, Lee, good to call that you called tonight. Thanks for calling after 5 minutes. But you know, you deserve more than 5 minutes on the phone. Can we get together this week, later this week? What's a good time for you or me?" See? You gotta get, you can't, because you have to go to work in the morning, and so do I. All right, emergency room, mobility and transient. This is a big one, big one, big one, big one. Look at this. The first 5 years of ministry, I thought, "What am I doing wrong? I can't believe it. We have 50 single adults in our church. We've had 50 visitors in the last 4 months, but yet we only have 20 coming every week. What is going on? Why won't they stay? Why do the visitors leave? 50% turnover every 6 to 12 months. That is reality. You got a group of 30, in 6 months, 15 of them will be different. You got a group of 100, in 6 to 12 months, 50 of them will be different. I guarantee you. In my 7 years in San Jose, California, listen to this, San Jose, California, big church, 1,800 attendance, we had 5 groups going every week. 5 groups. We had 225 people every week. In 7 years, we had 7,000 single adults come through our groups. 7,000. One guy, one church, one city, one denomination. One guy. Now, I'm saying that because it's multiplied across the country by you and you and you and thousands of others. Why? Why so many? I'll show you why. Some of you already know some of these. They move. No one interests them. They're coming to date somebody. The group is unfriendly. Faye didn't talk to me today. They marry. Oh, that's a pet peeve of mine. Some of them marry prematurely. I could tell you stories. Huh? On our website, by the way, again, on our website, under leaders and under single living, pick it up at the table down there, single living, you'll find a 4-page article my wife and I wrote about 5 stages of dating. I don't have time to get into it, but it'll really help you because you'll see the problems that people get into in dating. 5 stages of dating. Take a look. Here's some reasons they leave. They break up. Kathy and I are dating, but she breaks up with me, and I don't want to go back to the group because she might be there. I don't want to see her. She just broke up. That's another reason they'll leave. It's the wrong age. I'm 25, and this group is 35 to 60, and I don't want to hang out with people my parents' age. They're offended. The teacher didn't talk to me. They're involved in another area of the church. They're singing in the choir, or they leave your group to get involved. Or they think that God wants them to teach a 3rd grade class. That's okay. Or they're going to help with the greeters or the ushers. That's okay. I used to pull my hair out. I've lost so much hair. Why are they leaving? I'd say, "Lee, you've been with us for a year now. You've been in leadership. You're such a great guy. You helped so many times. Why don't you stay with us another year?" And he says, "Well, Dennis, I really feel I'm supposed to go working in the men's ministry." Oh. Well, I can't argue with God. You can't either. Let them go. It's going to happen, folks. You need to understand this. They're going to leave. And you want them to mainstream into the church. You want that. Your pastor wants that. Tell your pastor, "We want to integrate them into the church, Carol. That's a good thing." But that means they're not going to stay with you 4 or 5 years. Very, very few, 10%, will stay with you even 2 years. 2 years! Most of them are going to leave after a year. "Wow, why am I doing this, Dennis? Like Freddie said last night, you still have time to get out if you want to get out. They're not okay with their singleness. Whoops, I'm sorry. They're not okay with their singleness. And by coming to your group, it reminds them that they're single and they don't want to come. See, these are the reasons they come and go. They have a bias towards other people. Bunch of loners here, losers, leavers. I'm not going here. Too spiritual or not spiritual enough. These are the main reasons, but there's more. 28 years, I've learned a lot. Don't worry about it. You work at closing the back door. You minister to people while they're there. You love them while they're there. Jeanette comes one time, we're going to love her while she's there. She may not come back for 3 months. If she comes back, don't say, "Where you been, Jeanette? How come you haven't been here? I can't believe it. It's been 3 months since you've been here." Oh, Mom, that's going to make her come, isn't it? Don't judge her. You love her. Man, it's good to see you. It's been a while since you've been here, hasn't it, Jeanette? So good to have you back. See? You love them. You put your pride away and you love them. Does that make sense? Any comments so far? There's so much more to get into. We're only halfway through. You see what I'm saying here? Yes.
This is absolutely so relevant. I mean, I run into everyone in this.
I know you
have. All the feelings, the emotions that go to the leader. I mean, everything is absolutely target.
Thank you.
Just to let you know.
Okay, openness and honesty. Single adults want you to be real. Don't you beat around the bush with your teaching. That sexuality video we gave away and the DVD, we tell it like it is. I mean, we'll mention oral sex, masturbation. We these are what the people are dealing with. Temptations. They're living with gossip and they're living with these issues and the struggles. We better talk about them and be bold. Honest teaching. Don't skirt the issues. Counseling is a big issue in single adult ministry. You're going to have four types: spiritual, relational, emotional, psychological. Now, you can't do it all. I can't do it all. The bigger the groups grow, you can't do all the counseling. And I'm not a trained psychological clinical counselor. I had to refer people. I had to find out, establish relationships with Christian counselors in your city, your county. Go take somebody to lunch. Call them up. Go let them get acquainted with your ministry. You want to refer people to your ministry. You want them, but you got to build a bridge with them first. Yes, I know this takes time. I know it does. Oh, Dennis, I work another 40-hour job. Then it's going to take you longer time, but you can do it. You can have lunch or coffee with the counselor. You can leave your brochures with them and get acquainted with them. You can't do all the counseling. I could do the spiritual and relational, okay, but when the group got to 50 or 100, I couldn't handle them all. And so we have other people do counseling too. That's going to be a big need.
Thinking that, you mentioned financial before, but I think that, again, needs to be reiterated, is that so many single or single moms, single dads need financial counseling because they have just, everything fell apart on them.
Financial counseling is a big one. Yes. These are some of the characteristics. Healthy friendships. The need for friendships. Now listen to this. You got a 60-minute class on Sunday morning, some of you right now. That may not be the only time you should meet, or may not even be the right time to meet. I don't know. You have to evaluate that. You got a 60-minute class. How many minutes are you given for fellowship in that class?
15
is good. That means you have 45 minutes left to do your prayer, your announcements, your teaching, your discussion. I say give a quarter of the time. You got a 90-minute class on a Friday night or a 2-hour time slot, then you can give more time than 15 minutes. But don't give only 5 or 6 or 7 minutes. Single adults aren't coming for your teaching. They're not coming to hear you or me. I have a lot of teaching. I've taught all my life, but I'm telling you, they're not coming to hear me. They're coming to meet friends. They're coming to establish friendships. And only later on does the teaching priority in their mind raise up a little bit. Then they come to get something out of your teaching. But the first 6 months, they're coming to meet friends. So give them time for friendship. Oh, but Dennis, I won't get through my whole lesson. So what? Who cares? You got next Sunday. They're not coming to hear you speak. So what?
So how do you balance that with it turning into a woe is me, gossip?
Okay.
That's a because that's the perception.
Okay.
The Lonely Hearts Club, the Misfits, and the Land of Misfit Toys.
All right. For the CD, in case you didn't hear it, how do you balance or how, this is actually another issue. How do you keep the image positive is what you're saying. Okay, let's take a minute on this. You need to put any of your sharp people up front. The people that are fairly articulate, males and females, put them up front to give announcements, to do prayer, to do a greeting, even a one-minute thing. Put them up front, the sharp people, number one. You want to get them up there. Whether they're a quote, official leader or not, you can ask someone who's fairly articulate. I can ask Zandra. She's been coming for 3 months to my group. She's not in leadership yet, but I've gotten to know her. I can ask her to make an announcement. You can have an MC. The teacher shouldn't be the leader of the group. The teacher doesn't have to be up front and do all the speaking. An MC who is fairly articulate, has a gift of gab, likable person, male or female, put them up front. Number two, you look for you talk about this issue in your leadership. You talk about the loser image that the group has. You have to bring it to your leadership team, 2, 4, 6, 8 people on your team. You talk about the issues. You bring it up front. You deal with it. You get their input. You don't have all the answers, neither do they. But together, you can find some answers. Number three, you show sharp people to the congregation. A couple times a year, you get a 5-minute window in the service. Or ask the pastor for a whole 30 minutes in the service. And put a couple sharp people up there to give some life share testimonies and to do a drama or to show some pictures. Number four, you do a missions outreach in your community. A missions outreach, Salvation Army, homeless, rest homes. You do something where singles can get involved, and then you show pictures to the congregation. It'll dispel a negative image quickly. Look what the singles are doing. Wow. So what if you only had 5 go to the rest home and you got a group of 50? Only 5 went. The congregation doesn't know that. They see you doing something to help people and minister. That'll change a negative image quickly, Vicki, if you do some outreach things and then you show the congregation the pictures or the slides and you get someone go. Jim says, I went on the outreach last month. Man, was it great. We got to pray with people in the rest home, hurting people. Or we went down to the park and ministered to the homeless and gave them food and it was so great. You see, there are singles who want to do that. You've got to give them opportunities, and then you've got to show the congregation. So that is an issue, changing a negative image to a positive one. Yes, it's going to happen because you've got hurting people coming and loser-type people coming. But you do things to build up the congregation's image of a positive image. And then in the foyer, you talk to these people and you confront. Yeah, we got some hurting people coming, but we got healthy people too. So we found that those will change an image if you show the congregation what you're doing, some outreach things, you put the sharp people up front, and you talk about it on your leadership. All right, yes?
Men want to solve problems, and they enjoy actionable things. And so through service projects throughout the community, you're actually getting the men involved. We have like a vice president of an architecture firm, a business person that's attending our singles, just because of that, as far as with reaching out to people. And so that's an excellent opportunity to get the better quality of men involved in your singles.
Men and women. Yeah. Some women, women will do outreach too. So local outreach things. Okay, a little further. Need for friendship. Two types of people, the leaners and the lifters. Which one comes first to the group? Who are most of the people coming first? Lifters or leaners?
Leaners.
That's right. That's right. Remember that. They're not leadership material at first. They may not even know Christ. They may not even have any friends. The lifters, the leaners come first. Okay, look at this. Three types of doors in your ministry. You have an open door. Everybody's accepted, regardless of their social, mental, physical situations. No matter how they smell. We had a lady come in Omaha that stunk so badly. Long story, but she was coming for months. And she would, nobody wanted to sit next to her. You know? I mean, it was bad. People would leave the group. Visitors would go. Her name was Karen, and she only took a bath twice a month. Long story. I tried to get some of our female leaders to try and go talk to her. They wouldn't do it. I couldn't get them to do it. Finally, after 6 weeks, I said, okay, I'll do it. So I made an appointment with her. She came in before work, 7:30 in the morning in the office. I questioned her. I asked her how she's doing and does she have any friends and, you know, does she, you know, I said, do you have any issues? I tried to ask her about hygiene and I just point out and asked her. You know why she didn't take a bath? because she was so overweight she didn't want to look at herself. And by the time I left 2 months later, I moved 2 months later, but she was taking a bath once a week. That's better than twice a month, but it's not nearly enough. She needed help. But those kind of people are going to come in your groups. All kinds of people. They're all willing. You welcome them all. They're open door. That's my point. Open door. Okay. Secondly, revolving door. Everybody's going to leave your group eventually. Most of them, 6 to 18 months, will be gone. You got a group of 50? I'll guarantee you in 18 months, 40 of them will be gone. What am I doing this for? Youth pastor keeps the kids for 6 years. Single adults, 6 to 12 months. Unless they get involved, they may stay longer, a year or two, but a lot of them won't. They're going to leave immediately or later or eventually. Your revolving door, this is your ministry. There's a third type of door. There's the sliding door. This is the door where you mainstream them into your church and you allow them to leave to minister in other areas. I really feel I'm supposed to be singing in the choir now, and that's their connection. They're singing in the choir or the worship groups, and they don't need your group anymore. Just because you have a single adult group doesn't mean they're going to come, or that they even need to come. Just because you have a married class doesn't mean they need to come. See? You're trying to help people for a temporary period of time. In fact, say this phrase with me. Single adult ministry is a resting place, not a stopping place. Say that. Single adult ministry is a resting place, not a stopping place. It's a temporary resting and growing place. You grow, and then they're going to leave. See, we're not trying to keep them in our group for 5 years. That's not going to happen. That's very rare. Very rare. You'll have a few that really have a passion and a burden, and they'll stay in the young adults or single adult ministry and help you for 2, 3, 4 years. Praise God for them. We want them. But that's not going to be the norm. That's the exception. Integration is the goal. Look at this. We've got 10 minutes left. They're going to take church positions. You want them to be comfortable in the total life of the church. It's the goal. They're going to leave. Okay, here we go. Obtaining support. One of you asked about this one. I believe it is your job, my job, to educate the pastor and pastoral staff. Listen. Oh, but Dennis, they went to Bible school and seminary. They don't teach this stuff in Bible school and seminary. I know. I'll guarantee you they don't. Baptists, AG, Presbyterian, they don't teach this stuff about single adult ministry in the seminaries and Bible schools. You have to help the pastor with your... You better make an appointment with him. Go to lunch with him or her. Sit down. Show him materials from this conference. Tell him your vision. Show him your passion, him or her. Help him understand. Your pastor has 100 other things on his or her mind. You can't expect him to understand all this. You got to educate him. Every church I moved to, I met with the pastor every 3 months the first 2 years. Every 3 months. I want him to know what we're doing and why. I'm going to make an appointment, and I'm going to go to lunch or coffee with him or her, and I'm going to show them. You got to go after it. Be proactive. Give them materials. Ask for budget.
Budget? We don't have any budget in our singles ministry.
No, you probably don't. Well, then you should take an offering. And ask the pastor to take an offering and keep your offering towards your expenses. Single adults will give. Young adults will give to the ministry if it's meeting some needs. You'll give 50 cents, a dollar a person. Some will give $2 or $3. Well, over a month you have some money. What do you need money for? Postage, printing, flyers, honorariums for guests, donuts, coffee. You need money. Take an offering. They'll give a little bit. See? Eventually you want to be part of the budget, and that's another whole workshop. But feature the pastor at an event. You got to get support from your board and pastors. I told yesterday our leadership class, one of the best things we ever did was this one. These two. Feature the pastors. You may have to plan 6 months ahead. I don't care. Get your children's pastor, your education pastor, your youth pastor, your senior pastor. Get them to come into your class and speak. Book a date 6 months ahead. I don't care. Whatever it takes. Get them in there. They need to see your class. They need to understand what you're doing. It's up to you to do this. The board members. We used to get the board members to come in one at a time. One at a time. Remember I talked about this yesterday? One at a time. And their spouse. Lee's a board member. His wife's a Sandy, if I remember correctly. See, work out names. Lee, you're a board member at our church, and our people need to know who you are. A lot of them don't even know you're a board member, and you and your wife. So I'd like to ask you to come to our class next month, and we just want to interview you, Lee, just you and your wife, just for 5 minutes, and then stay for the whole class, or the whole night. I got burned one time when the board member left after the interview. And I tell Lee and Sandy, I want them to come because I want our people to see who they are. That's not the real reason. The real reason is I want them to see who we are. I want Lee and Sandy to see who the single adults are. They're coming. All ages, all types.
What questions would you have?
I'll tell you. So and that's what they want to know. So I say, well, Lee, we want you to tell us what you do for a living. I'm going to interview you, have you come up here and tell us what you do for a living and how you got on the board and what's your role on the board. Just some common questions. And your wife, Sandy, tell us about your family. Moms like to talk about their families, you know. Tell us how long you've been married, that kind of stuff. Just 5 minutes. Just simple stuff. Oh, okay. So I get a date with them. They put it on their calendar. Their daytimer, their trio, their BlackBerry. And then, next month comes, he comes in. I've already told the class they're coming. Be friendly to Lee and Sandy. I mean, go up to them and talk to them. They're board members. I want Lee and Sandy to see who you guys are. So they come in, I interview them, they go sit down, they hear me teach or somebody else teach, they stay for the fellowship time, people are coming up to them, thanks for coming, we're here to talk, you know. And, oh, this is a friendly group, ooh, I've already told the group, see. And then Lee leaves, and next month he goes to his board meeting with the church, and he says to the other board members, you know what, Dennis had me come to the singles class, the young adult group, man, I didn't know half the people in there. He said we have some Baptists and Lutherans coming because they don't have a group at their church. They're coming to our church. Isn't that cool? He said that there's divorced and widowed and never married people in there. And I looked around the room, and he's telling this to his board member friends. And there was John. I forgot. John lost his wife last year. Yeah, he's widowed. And there's Sue. Sue's never been married. I thought she was married. She's 33. And then there's Bill over here. He went through divorce last year. Yeah, I forgot about that. And there's a lot of people I don't even know in that group. There were 30, 40 people there, and half of them I didn't know. It was a good experience. See, he's telling his board member friends this. And then Frank, another board member, it's my last name, Frank says, yeah, Dennis has me coming next month. Me and my wife are coming next month. See, and then next month they talk again. So they're talking about your ministry every month. See? So don't have all five of them come at once and line them up across the front and interview them. No, you want to spread it out over 5 months so that they're going to continue to talk about your ministry. Okay, classes going by. You see what I'm saying? There's so much more. Plan intentionally. Comments, questions. We're going to take some more here. And then I'm going to show you a couple of resources before we let you go. What am I missing? Yes?
Sorry, I just have a question about what you have up there on the board right now. Actually, it caught my eye earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Lakeisha, what do you say from all your experience as far as the pros and cons having something on or off?
Okay. You know what? I'll give you a quick answer, but I got a whole class on that coming up here on models. And models, it's the... I'm going to look at your schedule. Tell me if it's the next class or the one after, but... Huh?
Afternoon.
There's, in fact, I'm repeating it, so you can come to either one. We're going to show you seven models, and we're also going to look at the pros and cons of meeting off the grounds or on the church grounds, because we've done both for 20 years. So there are pros and cons. I want to show you that, and if there's any leftover handouts, you can take one if you don't make one of those classes. That's the models class, okay? Question?
We're really good in our church about pulling people in, getting them interested, and it's probably 80% and what we found is it's so much more effective to have a well-rounded gender kind of
mm-hmm.
So we've got co-leaders, myself, and a gentleman. But it's just so hard to reach the guys.
To reach the guys, I know. Quick answer. Get two guys who are coming to plan four guys' activities in the next 6 months. Oh, guys only.
Guys only.
Guys only. What do guys want to do? Barbecue, stock car races, ball games. What do guys want to do? Get two guys to plan just temporary four or five events in the next 6 months and start inviting the guys and let them invite their friends, number one. Number two, put guys up front.
We do that.
Okay, that's good. Number three, talk about on your leadership team. What can we do to attract guys? Okay? You've got to attract guys, but you're not going to attract as many guys in this age group as women. You probably won't. But you can attract more than you're getting now if you plan some guys' events and you put the guys up front and you discuss the problems. That's just a quick answer.
Here's one that you didn't get to and I think would be good. The groups become inward focused. And I think when you have a church that's been established in the community for so long and then just not getting people from outside the church in, and it's just like, okay, well, what activities do we want?
Yep.
And we're only thinking of ourselves. We're not thinking, okay,
right,
how do we outreach? How do you do that?
You've got to plan some outreaches that will help single adults get out of themselves. Single adults are selfish by necessity because it's only me taking care of me. So you plan some outreaches, nursing homes, rest homes, like I said, Salvation Army services, homeless, things in your community to get single adults, give them opportunities to get them out of their lifestyle and into the lives of others. Let me mention a couple quick things before we leave. This banner, we have these banners on our website, but I've got two of them with me. It's a great banner to show you the ages and the interests and the ethnic groups and a nice serving the diverse needs of single adults. We're selling these across the country from our national office. $99. It's a heavy scrim material. Come take a look. We can sell this one. We've got another one downstairs on the wall by our, look for this by the tables down there in the foyer. $99. We can bill you. I'd rather you take it than me ship it back. So it's something that groups are using with the logo, recognizing, reaching, restoring, releasing. Number two, we have a national cruise we're doing. We have 225 people already registered. This is our third national cruise. Pick up a flyer on our table. This is the FAQs. And here's the cruise flyer. It's this September. We only have about 40 cabins left. About 300 people are going to go with us on this cruise. It's the best price we've ever had, $495. Help singles take a healthy vacation. They don't take healthy vacations because they don't know who to go with. I've learned that over the years. Pick up a flyer on our table about the cruise. You have till June 3rd to get that information in, money in. We have a young adult site for Chris and you guys who are young adults. Pick up a young adult. It's out of date right now. I'm hiring a young adult guy soon. We're way behind on this, but it'll show you. If you like the source, we've given you the source. Take a card at the back there and leave it with her. We'll bill you later. And lastly, I've had questions about this. What are these on our table? These are little 13-minute DVDs. There's six or eight topics down there by Rob Bell, young adult leader in the country. And the explanations are on the back. 13-minute real-life situations, DVDs, situations with discussion. You can discuss these. They're great little things. $13. You can't beat them to help you. You can use this a couple times in the year. And lastly, we have other curriculum to help you. This is only one of six different ones down there. One for the Lord. There's 9 sessions in this one. Look at this, $3 for the student guide and 10 for the leaders. We're selling them out because we don't have many left. And there's other issues and topics down there. These should be actually 2 weeks. Each session could be 2 weeks. So this could be 18 because they're kind of long for one class. But there's issues. Go down to the table and take a look. We have gals down there to help you. Thanks for being here. Pick up a source and the card back there. Come to another class. Hope you're coming.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm